You're listening to sermons from Liberty Baptist Church in Newport Beach, California. For more information about Liberty or to donate to this ministry, you can visit us at libertybaptistchurch.org. We pray that the Lord will use this message to be a help and encouragement in your life.
Tonight, in a few short minutes, we're going to learn much about what one name in Christ's family tree can teach us. I mentioned this, I guess it was three messages ago on a Sunday morning. The fact that God opened up the New Testament with a list of names. And to me, at times, genealogies, as you're reading them, can seem a little bit boring or just non-essential, or does that really matter? Give me something that can really help me today. And it's amazing that God chose to begin the New Testament with a list of names. That genealogy was the family tree of Jesus, humanly speaking, from Abraham to Joseph. And I know it's a little darker out there, and so I think if you'd like to turn, we're going to be in Matthew 1 to begin, and we're going to turn to two other places tonight. If not, I believe we'll have the verses of all of the text verses on the screens tonight, as it might be a little harder for some to see out there with the lighting as it is this evening. But the very first verse of Matthew chapter number 1, the very first verse of the New Testament says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." So it must have been very, very important. God wanted to start the New Testament with the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the family tree of Jesus Christ. And as the Bible is so amazing, it's so rich. As you jump into the genealogies, there are so many lessons to be learned and so many stories to go back and see, wow, God used that person and God allowed that person to be used in the bringing forth, humanly speaking, of the Savior into the world. And we've all heard messages, I've preached some here, on names from the Christmas story, some from his genealogy. Of course, the most famous and familiar ones would be Joseph and Mary, and we've heard messages about Joseph and Mary and other characters. We've heard messages about the shepherds. We've heard messages about the wise men. Last Sunday night, Brother Sammy brought a message about Simeon from the Christmas story, and all of those are some of the more familiar names that we might have heard or I've preached or taught before, but I don't think I've ever heard a Christmas message on the name of this character. And I doubt that you have either. And there's something beautiful in here that I want us to see. Our text verse is Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 12. Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel." After they were brought to Babylon, those that have been going with us through our Journey Through the Word book series, you understand this is talking about the time in Israel's history when they had been taken captive by the Babylonians, and they spent 70 years in captivity in Babylon. And then after that, they were brought to Babylon, it's telling that, so it's giving us the time frame. And this, as I mentioned, passage traces the human lineage of Christ from Abraham to Joseph. And here in the middle of these genealogies, about 17 verses of them, before it gets to what we would call the Christmas story, right here in the middle of it is this verse that seems to be pretty uneventful. I don't think I've ever preached a message on this verse from these three names and Matthew chapter 1, verse number 12. But the word is packed with amazing truths and beautiful stories when we dig a little deeper. Just to understand the generations here, of course, Jeconias, or Jeconiah, you'll see, or Coniah, he's called different names. At times they would use different spellings or different pronunciations throughout scripture. He's the grandpa in this part, if we pull this verse out. And then his son, Salathiel, and then Salathiel begat Zerubbabel. So you have the grandpa, and then the dad, and the son. And our message, the Christmas ring, comes from that name, Zerubbabel. That one name in the lineage of Christ that really we don't hear a whole lot of, kind of strange, but beautiful, I think, and you'll see what we mean by the Christmas ring if you'll follow along. I have about probably 10 minutes or so of introduction and then about a 5 or so minute message. If you'll follow along, I believe you'll get much from it. How did this become my Christmas candlelight service message? Matthew 1:12, "And he begat Zerubbabel." That's a strange text verse for a candlelight Christmas service. It started a few weeks ago as I was studying in the book of Haggai, another strange book to use for a Christmas message. And it started in Haggai as I brought that message, I guess, 3 or 4 Sunday nights ago in our Journey Through the Word series. 2 little chapters, and at the end of Haggai, there's a message. If I remember correctly, Haggai's message was 127 words. And Haggai brought this very short message. And in this message, the message that Haggai preached, it was actually amazingly preached on the day that we call Christmas Eve, December the 24th. Haggai chapter 2, verse number 20. The Bible says in Haggai 2, verse 20, it says, "And again, the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month." The 24th day of the month, that's the 24th. What month was this? If you go earlier, verse number 10 of the chapter tells you that in the Hebrew calendar, it was the 9th month, and which in our calendar, the Gregorian calendar, would equate to December. So 500 years, interestingly, before Christ was born, Haggai preached this message on what we would call December 24th, 520 BC. Maybe the first Christmas Eve message ever preached. Of course, Christ had not yet come, but it was preached on this, the 24th day, and as we equate it to our December 24th. Now, what did he say in that verse? He says, the last verse of this tiny little 2-chapter book from the prophet Haggai, chapter 2, verse 23, I believe they have it on the screens there. The Bible says, "In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O who, church? O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of who? Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a what, church? As a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts." It's an interesting verse, and I'll be honest, I've read that verse many times, and up until I was studying it for this passage and then kind of putting it together with Christ's lineage, didn't mean a whole lot. I understood it a little bit, but interesting verbiage that he says there, and that little phrase, "I will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee." A signet is a ring. This is an unbelievably powerful verse with an unbelievably powerful message for Zerubbabel. Haggai is preaching in that day, the short message, the last verse of verse 23. And that message, God tells Haggai, "Speak to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, and give him this message." And the last thing that he says to Zerubbabel is, "I will make thee," he said, "I will make thee as a signet, a ring." The signet ring was very important in these days. It was used of the king to seal documents. The ring had royal authority. It would be like maybe, I guess you could say, power of attorney in our day. Maybe it would be like a driver's license or an identification. It was that you could use, they would use to sign bills. It might be like the signature of the president on a law or on a bill, and that they would use their signet, and it would stamp it that he had the ring. And there were only very, very key people that had the signet of the king. If they had that, it also was tied into their finances. It would be if you came and you needed money or you needed to purchase something, you could stamp that signet ring down. And it was good. You had access to the kingdom's riches. And so this was an unbelievably powerful symbol. It gave you access to the king's wealth, to the king's resources, to the king's authority, to the king's relationships. It was very precious. Why was this such a significant statement from God to Zerubbabel? "I will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts." We have to go back a little farther to Grandpa Jeconias, who is also listed in the lineage of Christ. If you'll put the verses up there, Jeremiah chapter 22. Jeremiah in chapter number 22, the Bible says, "As I live, saith the Lord, though Coniah," and there it is, "As I live, saith the Lord, though Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet upon my right hand." So God is speaking to Jeconias, if he were the signet upon my right hand, the royal ring. Notice what he says, "Yet would I pluck thee thence." I would take it off, and you would no longer have that authority, that blessing, that opportunity in the kingdom. "And I will give thee into the hand of them that seek thy life, and into the hand of them whose face thou fearest, even into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of the Chaldeans. And I will cast thee out, and thy mother that bare thee, into another country where ye were not born, and there ye shall ye die. But to the land whereunto they desire to return? Thither shall they not return. Is this man Coniah a despised, broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed? Notice that, he and his what, church? And his seed, and are cast into a land which they know not? O earth, earth, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his what, church? Of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. This was known by many, often called the curse of Coniah. And Coniah is Jeconias. The curse of Jeconias, and it's interesting in Jeremiah, in Jeremiah's prophecies, that that God used the symbolism. He used the words, if you were a signet on my right hand, I would pluck thee off. And he said, I'm putting a curse upon you and your family. There's a curse. And so his son grew up knowing that he was from bad seed. His son grew up knowing that his family was under a curse from God. They would not have the opportunities that they at one time had. They had been cursed because of Jeconias' evil ways. And his grandson Zerubbabel was born. For generations, generations of this man's family knew that they were living under a curse. They knew that they would not have the blessings that other families might have. God had said, no man of his seed would prosper. Jeconias was such a wicked and evil king that God pronounced a curse on him and his family. Even if you were a signet upon my right hand, I would take it off and throw it away. Many people would read the inclusion of Zerubbabel into the lineage of Christ, like I have many times, and think nothing. Many would read God's promise to Zerubbabel at the end of Haggai, where he says, and make thee a signet. What does that mean? I'll make you a signet. Big deal. I'll make you a ring. What does that mean to Zerubbabel? Hearing the message from Haggai generations later. And we would read that verse at the end of Haggai, as I have many times, and glance right over it thinking nothing of it. But I doubt that any of us can imagine how special and how important and how significant these words to Zerubbabel were. What was God saying to him? What did he say? I will make thee a signet, for I have chosen thee. What was he saying by allowing Zerubbabel into the line of Christ, that Christmas ring, if you will? What was he saying? He was saying, I have chosen thee. You are back in my family. The exact imagery that God had used in judgment for his grandfather, he is now using in mercy for Zerubbabel. You are my ring. You are in my kingdom. You are in my plan. You have value. I love you. I'm going to use you again. As he just said that little thing, speak unto my servant Zerubbabel and say, I will make thee a signet, for I have chosen thee. Do you see the mercy there? Do you see the love there that God is communicating? Do you see the grace? And what are those, mercy, love, and grace? Aren't those the great truths of the Christmas story? What is the truth of why Christ came to bring mercy, love, and grace? What did Christ coming communicate? Mercy, love, and grace. What did it communicate? A new start for those that had been under a curse. A new start for those that had no hope in their future. A new start for those that came from bad family history. A new start for those whose ancestors had been under a curse from God. Isn't that all of us, the seed of Adam? And we that are suffering under that curse, and Jesus comes, and what is it? I will make thee a signet. Oh, I told your grandpa, if he were a ring, I'd take him off and pluck him. I would pull it off and pluck him off. I would throw him away. And what does Zerubbabel hear decades later? Haggai, I want you to tell Zerubbabel. He'll know what I mean when I say this. I want you to tell him, I'll make thee a signet, for I have chosen him. Oh, all of us were living under a curse, and all of us came from bad seed, if you will, and all of us have some things we might not be proud of in our family history, but Christmas is a reminder that it's a new start, a new family line, old mistakes forever forgiven. We're now included back into the family of God. Zerubbabel, whose family had lived under the curse of Coniah, is now told in Haggai, some 500 years before Christ ever came, I will make thee a signet. By the way, God kept his word of the curse to Coniah. Zerubbabel did not sit on the throne as a king, but he was allowed to be governor of Judah. God is miraculously able to keep his promises while still keeping mercy for thousands, as Exodus 34 reminds us. Zerubbabel, the Christmas ring. As we ponder Zerubbabel in Christ's family tree, what is God reminding us? When we read Matthew 1, verse 12, kind of an obscure middle of a genealogy verse, kind of a weird verse to read on a Christmas candlelight service. As we read Matthew 1, verse 12, and we find out that there aren't too many names listed in the lineage there, and Zerubbabel's one of them. As we read Matthew 1, 12, and we see that Zerubbabel is there, what is God reminding us, and what does Christmas remind us? What is God reminding us with that little word, Zerubbabel, in the lineage? He's reminding us, I have chosen you. God has chosen you. I have come for you. I have forgiven you. I have put you back to use. I have welcomed you back into the family. I love you in spite of past mistakes and family failures. I have broken the curse that your family has lived under for generations. That is what we find with that one little name in the lineage, Zerubbabel. In Haggai, Zerubbabel vanishes from the historical record after God makes that promise, I will make thee a signet, for I have chosen thee. Chronologically in the Bible, the next time we find him is 500 years later in Matthew's account. It's almost like that's the last thing I want you to remember about him, and the next time you're going to hear his name is going to be in the lineage of Christ. That one that lived under a curse. And his grandfather was said, if you were a signet, I would pluck it off, pluck thee thence. I would take it off and throw you out. You're no good. A curse upon your seed. And the next time then we see in Haggai, prophet Haggai tells Zerubbabel, I will make thee as a signet. You're back in the family. You have access to me again. You're back in my kingdom. I have chosen thee, and the next time we find him is in the lineage of Christ. What a beautiful Christmas ring. Zerubbabel, that one that lived under a curse, shown mercy, shown love, put back to use, sins forgiven, family history, I guess you could say erased or whatever you want to call it, a new start. And isn't that what Christmas is for all of us? Isn't that why Christ came? I will make thee as a signet. I'll welcome you into my kingdom, for I have chosen you. Oh, I know there's some stakes in your lineage. I know there's a curse that your family tree lives under, but I sent my son to break that curse. And at one time I said I would cast you off, but I sent that son to show mercy and grace and love. God, in that one word, Zerubbabel, is reminding us, that Christmas ring reminding us of the beautiful message of Christmas.
Thanks for listening to Messages from Liberty. Tune in next week for more helpful Bible teaching, or subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with our current series.